For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, I think my colleague is partially right. I mean, clearly, the older wind turbines, they don't have the de-icing feature, which is kind of like a heated steering wheel in a car. It keeps that ice from building up on the blades, and those things have to be balanced. You can't have one blade heavier than the other. They shut themselves down. So, but that's only, you know, a smidgen of their energy. It's 20%. They had a lot of failure, Tim, mainly because of something super simple, and that is winterizing. If you think about our cars out there, if you don't have your dealership check your antifreeze and make sure that thing will go to the degree that you need it to go to, then you're going to freeze up your engine block and you're going to tear up, you know, 8 million cars in the state of Georgia. And that's not the fault of global warming. That's not Ted Cruz's fault. That's not the governor's fault. You know, it's the folks that are responsible for the grid setting the policy requiring winterization. That's the simple solution on this.
Well, let me back up for a moment. Something you said there, you referred to the wind capacity, the wind component of the Texas energy grid is small. 20%, I mean, we can quibble over what we mean by small, but that strikes me as a significant figure. How responsible are those wind turbines for the issues they're seeing in Texas?
Well, I mean, the week before, they were producing 42 gigawatts of wind energy. Those things were working just perfectly fine. And they, on a windy day, it provides them with even more energy than they were counting on. But, you know, overall, renewables are about 11% of the Texas grid. Georgia, we've got about 4% renewables on our grid. But, you know, when you start removing, Tim, if you don't have a big reserve margin, and we've got a 26% winter reserve margin, meaning that we're paying for, you know, 25% more, essentially, energy than we need, and you go, wow, that's a waste of money. Well, it's not a waste of money if you have a crisis. And they had, they had traditional coal plants that weren't firing because the coal pile froze, and they didn't have a way to unfreeze it. They had gas issues because everybody was turning on gas in their homes and it didn't leave enough for the power plant. They didn't have, quote, firm gas transportation to the power plant. It just was one thing after another as it kind of cascaded. And Tim, they had this happen 10 years ago during the Super Bowl when it was in Dallas. They had 210 generation units fail then. And that was, before that, it was 1989. So this is essentially once every 10 years in Texas, they have a little something like this happen, and there is no mechanism they have to tell a power plant owner, you must winterize your plant. And since they're bidding in to their deregulated market, the generation companies that own these plants, very different than the way we do it here, they just simply don't want to spend the money for something that's only going to happen once every 10 years.
Let's talk about that. Tim Echols, Georgia Public Service Commission. Let's say that same storm hits us instead of Texas or in addition to Texas. We get that kind of weather. We're measuring across the state snow in inches and temperatures down around freezing, and that can happen. I mean, below freezing, well below freezing, zero. That can happen. I've seen 2 degrees in Cairo, Georgia. I know it can happen. Suppose that it did. What would be the expectation of our energy grid here? I know what we'd want to have happen. What would be the likely outcome?
Well, if it's just cold on the Georgia power plants, you know, we have had them spend the money to winterize. And the difference is in Georgia, the power company loves to spend money. I mean, if we give them the money to winterize, they're going to spend it. In Texas, these plants bid into a power grid every day, and if they're spending, you know, $10 million, $20 million, $50 million on building these extra little buildings to winterize their stuff, it makes them less competitive. And not only does Georgia Power love to spend that money, Tim, but they get interest on that. They get interest on everything they own. And I know we get criticized for that at certain times of the year, but what it does is it creates a gold-plated preventive maintenance program that the power company does, and that pays off when you have a crisis.
Georgia Public Service Commissioner Tim Echols. One of the things we're hearing, too, is that Texas adopted kind of a go-it-alone strategy in terms of its energy, that Texas tried to be maybe more independent than was wise. I don't know what kind of arrangements there are with other states, what other kind of arrangements Georgia might have. You tell me.
Well, I mean, you can only put so much energy onto the line, right? So let's say they did have a little entry, you know, down in the southwest part of their state to the grid from the southwest power pool. But you can't pump that energy all the way from over there to Dallas or Houston on the other side of the state, you know, all at one time. I mean, the grid can only accommodate a certain amount of energy. Winterizing their grid, you know, would have allowed them to maintain their independence. Tim, it's not a matter of, oh, they could just call up Mexico or they could just call up, you know, Arizona. I mean, the Southwest Power Pool, which provides power to the neighboring states, they had rolling blackouts too. It just wasn't near as bad because it wasn't just rolling blackouts. It was 4 days without any power.
There are those, Tim Echols, who look at this, what's going on in Texas, and it depends. A lot of this is because everything does gets bogged down in partisan politics. There are those who say, see, this proves that this Green New Deal, renewable energy stuff won't work. There are those who say it proves the need to focus more on it. I'm going to guess the truth is probably somewhere in the middle.
No, it has nothing to do with Green New Deal. It has nothing to do with global warming. This is way simpler than that, Tim. It's just a matter of think about it like the toilet paper crisis. Had we told every Georgia store, you need to put an extra 25% of your toilet paper inventory in a little pod out behind your store, you've got to keep it there all year long no matter what because we don't ever want to run out of toilet paper again, people would have thought you were crazy to do something like that. But that is what we have done with energy. We have plants running, Tim, that we don't need. We can spin those things up. We got extra energy. We have made those arrangements, and our ratepayers pay for that luxury. In Texas, they decided they didn't want to pay for that luxury. This is on Texas. This is not a national failure. It's not their governor. It is ERCOT. It is their reliability council. They did not have the proper plans to deal with a rapid drop in available power, and they didn't have contingency plans for catastrophes.
I know you're going to be dealing with this a much deeper dive on your own show, Energy Matters, Saturday, 8 o'clock here on WGAU, Saturday mornings, 8 o'clock. What can we listen for this coming Saturday?
Well, Casey Boyce and I, my co-hosts, are going to – we're not throwing stones at Texas. We're talking about the difference in a system that requires – a reserve margin and one that doesn't. We're talking about winterizing and, you know, the prudency and the wisdom in doing that. We're talking about how much more insulation their homes don't have, right? So you've got a home that gets colder quicker. I mean, if you had insulation in your home to a very high standard, your home wouldn't get down to 20 degrees or 30 degrees. In Texas, it's kind of like Florida. They just don't have a lot of insulation because they don't really need it, except when you have a major crisis like this.
All right, Tim Echols, Georgia Public Service Commission. Thanks for your time this morning.
All right, Tim, thank you.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.